For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Very important part. Why? God wants you to have a personal prayer life, because that which you build when no one is looking is the true you. Okay? Go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, it's what we did last week, hallowed be your name. That's what we're going to tackle today. But let's read on for context. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Those are big words. Verse 14 and 15, and that is not the sermon. But I just want to take another moment to thank Umfriki for the course on forgiveness that we will do tonight. And so this just like rings in your heart, please come tonight at 5 o'clock. We've got a space prepared for you. Quickly, last week we said in a similar way that like a man that's lost in the mountains can locate himself geographically by finding out where the sun is or the direction that a river flows. You could find out, oh, this is where I am because the signs are here. We said there's ways you can also find out whether you are standing in the right way before the Lord. We can find out that if our prayer is always formal and superficial, or there's routines. For example, we've got a routine that we pray before we go to sleep and a routine we pray when we eat. It might be that we see God as some kind of a machine. We put this code in and then we eat. Whereas seeing Him as a Father means there's a little bit more of a freedom around our time with Him. We talk about all kinds of stuff and all kinds of times. Okay, so that's last week, so I can't go into it a lot. Also, prayer, when God is seen as an employer, prayer is quite limited because you have diplomacy or boss, so it's limited in frequency. But with a Father, you often speak. And also, when you speak to your employer, you don't talk about the matters of your heart. Okay, this is pretty weird, okay? You might get in big trouble, fired or worse trouble. But when you speak to God, you're not speaking to an employer, you're speaking to your dad. And so we can locate our standing by looking at our prayer life. That is last week. Now, let's go on. Where's the heart standing? Hopefully in front of the Father. But when we go on, it says, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now these two parts, our Father last week and hallowed be your name. Dit is 'n bietjie soos 'n drukgang. Wie weet wat 'n drukgang? Maar die beeste staan almal daar en dan kom hulle deur so klein tunnel en daar's 'n inspuiting in die nek en 'n stamp op die boot of weet jy wat alles is. But you have to go through there to be a part of what's happening on the farm on the other side. Jy moet deur dit kom. And in one sense, Jesus is giving us a narrow passageway to press our hearts in before we advance and open up in all different types of prayers. Our Father and hallowed be your name. Now the first part is we must stand before the Father and not an employee. Stand in a family relationship, not a business relationship. The second part is hallowed be your name. Now the summit of the heart is what I want to get to. What is the summit? The summit is the hoogste punt, okay? Now, here's the thing. The summit, let's talk about, where's the hikers? Waar is die mense wat stap, ja? Ja, moet nie so skaam wees nie, Miller, ons weet. So you hike a mountain, and you're like, I'm gonna get to the top, right? And then you get to the top, and then you're like, shucks, this is not the top. Who's experienced that? En die hele familie is moeg, die kinders kerm, maak kreen, en pa sê, we're not done. You see there? Yeah, you see behind that cloud, snow higher? That's actually where we are going. And everyone's like, right now. Because you see, hikers want to get to the top. We want to get to the summit. Why? Because when we go down and we look from home, we want to say, we went. Who wants to say, hey, we went, we're so stoked. We went 70% up the mountain. You see, we're not like that. Okay? We don't want to play only 20 minutes in a rugby game, for example. We want to go, sorry. We need to go, sorry, that's just me dealing with my wounds, okay? So, not even talking about this morning, 4 o'clock, but is there any South African chess player that competed this weekend and won? Just give me some hope. Is there anything that happened? Like, anything? Like, I don't care, roll ball, chess, this. But because this is a dark weekend. Anyways, but maybe it's pointing up to something in my heart that needs to shift if this is too hard. But, you know, we want to go to the top. We want to go to the peak. And there's something about that that's right. There's something about that from God. There's a conquering spirit in us. We don't say, yes, I just really wish for a good middle of the line marriage. You know, I'd like it to be like good and average. No, we want it to be great. When we're young, we starry eyes like, this is going to be great because we aim for the summit. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But here's the thing. Every heart has a summit, which is the most valuable desire of your heart. And sometimes it changes a bit, but it's there. And right now, what you think about most that no one knows, or what you talk about most, some of them know, and if you look at your budget and you look at your whole life, you can locate the real peak of your heart. If you follow conversation, thoughts, budget, and more. It's as simple as that. Because the heart is gearing towards not a lower peak, it always gears towards the highest peak. Right? And in one sense, God has made us like that, but we need to be accurate here. And we're going to find a lot of help in that word, hallowed. You know, did you realize it's not all over the Bible? We see more love God, he's glorious, it's wonderful. But we might also use the same vocabulary for other things. We might say, what a glorious sunset. Who's heard that before? That's fine. Okay, because I could say it in a way that I'm seeing God on the other side and I'm actually praising him for it. What a glorious wedding. I love ice cream. But I haven't often heard someone say, what a hallowed sunset. You know, it's not enough, and it's interesting because the NIV wants to be wants to write in a way, the NIV Bible translation, that people understand, but they've not taken that word for something else. They've kept it in there because there's something about this in the Lord's Prayer that's different. And you know, when you unpack that word, what it functionally means is to have something as your primary concern, okay? To have something most prized or cherished above all other matters. Now, if you took in what I just said, in one sense, I can stop the sermon. There's a lot to digest there. And I'm not going to move far beyond this. I'm just going to meditate on this. Read with me very carefully. Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. No. What does it say? Hallowed be. Okay, our Father, is that an address, a formal address, or is that a request? Our Father. That's the address. You are Father. Hallowed be your name. Is that an address or a request? It's a request. Hallowed be your name. What are we being led to ask right there? If we say, Father, hallowed be your name, what am I asking? I'm asking, may your name be prized above all other things in my life at this moment, before I advance further in prayer. What is the summit of the heart of the reborn Christian supposed to be? God Himself. And I've got all these things bugging me in prayer. I want to enter into my prayer closet. But before I enter into my prayer closet and war and cup alles af and spuch and spat, what I need to do is I need to get to the highest place spiritually I can get to, that I may have a view to look. What will that be? Prizing and cherishing God Himself in this time of prayer more than anything else in my life. I'm saying, Lord, lift me up before I advance, that I may see correctly. Are you with me this morning? Okay, so hierdie, I was thinking when I was working on this, hierdie is nie, welcome first time visitors, dit is nie first time visitor sermon nie. Okay, this is mature spiritual matter. Okay, but if you are here the first time, God sal jou help kou. Okay, die Heilige Gees sal help. But it's good that you get solid preaching from the start. What Jesus is doing here is He's calling every prayer session to an halt before we advance. Because if God is not my greatest concern, the rest of the prayer is going to be all over the place. It's going to be inaccurate, and then I'm going to come out and say, my gebed werk nie. Because it cannot be done in a different way. This is how it goes down. The one who prays sees God as first and foremost. Okay, now, question. Is it wrong to have other interests, I've got on the screen, and passions? There's two mistakes we make here. Obviously, the answer is no. But let me show you the two mistakes and then how this fits in. Because aren't I supposed to have other peaks, other summits, other things? I've got passions. Okay, some of them were shattered yesterday at 4 o'clock. Okay, 5 o'clock. All right. What about the other things you love, other people you love? Two mistakes. The one mistake is making good things ultimate things. Okay, taking something. I'm not even talking about substance abuse. I'm not talking about premarital sex, because those, well, let's move beyond. Those are not the challenge. We know those are peaks we should not have. All right. The things we struggle with is the good things. Like family, is it from God? Yes. Is He in it? Yes. But can I make it the ultimate peak in my life? And then I pray to God to help me serve my real God. Okay. Now this is very hard to locate. Like I've never met a person who says, I've realized that I'm a greedy person. You know why it's very hard to realize that? It's very hard. It's hard to know, oh, I did this. But you see, the summits of the heart, they can be behind clouds. But the Spirit wants to help us. The first mistake is to make good things ultimate things. And this speaks to idols. But good things is very hard to spot as idols. Now what happens here is if we have it in our church where there's all these other things that the world loves, the good things, and we love it in the same way, then we are no longer a city with a light into this world, a city on a hill, because we're no longer different. Everyone in the world loves family, ultimately loves wealth ultimately, loves health ultimately, loves looks ultimately. And so we put all those things and we love them in the same way, we are just like the world. Okay, now those are not bad things, but if they're at the top, it's hard to distinguish someone full of the Spirit from someone in the world. That's the first mistake. Are you with me? All right. The second mistake is saying all those things are bad. Asceticism. You find it in Colossians chapter 2. Stay away from this. Stay away. There's going to be five guys that knows what I'm talking about. Who knows who Bobby Boucher is? He's a character from a movie in The Waterboy. His mom says everything is the devil. Okay? University is the devil. Rugby is the devil. That girl is the devil. And so in one sense, that's the other mistakes Christians have made in the past. Let's go live in a monastery. Let's extract ourselves out of this evil world and this evil people. And let's go live in a cave and make sure nothing of the devil touches us. It's a big mistake. Because we become so weird that we can no longer relate with the world. And there Jesus is speaking to people about farming, speaking to them about stewardship, renting and letting, okay, because he knew how to engage with these things without making it the peak. And so he was relatable. So that's a different mistake, not interacting with the blessings at all. So what is the correct way? This is our question, like, how do you have God as your highest peak, but there's all these other things we enjoy? The correct way is to enjoy good things from God and allowing the pleasure we get from it to lift praise to God. Okay? Wow, this was pleasant, but I'm not going to praise it. I'm going to praise you. Okay? And so what I'm doing is I'm in one way, I'm looking through that which is pleasant and I'm seeing God on the other side. And I say, Lord, this is from your hand. I praise you. Now, it's a very subtle difference, but if God takes this, it's all right, because you see, your highest peak is God and not the thing. But you know that when this thing moves to the top, you start sweating at night. If I lose this thing, if I lose this thing, I'm in my chops. Okay, what has happened is your heart found another summit. Okay, and as humans, we all can relate to that. I can relate to that. Okay, but Jesus is saying, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, most cherished, highest be your name in my life. Two examples, let's talk about that, let's digest. C.S. Lewis said it, and I use this example in the past as well. He said, a great mistake we can make as Christians is the sun is shining down the mountain, and then we catch the sun rays, which is poetic language for all God's blessing, and we think we've got the sun, but it's only the sun rays. It's like all the good things from God's hand. Don't stop at the sun ray. Look up towards the sun. You can go higher on the mountain, because that which you experienced on the mountain came from somewhere, from the sun. And so the ability to run up the mountain past all your blessings is one way you can bring good things down and keep God at the peak. And now you start to become free. You're like, Lord, I really trust you. Because if I look at my life, actually been good to me in this and that way. So if you want to use this and this way, that's okay. Because I've learned to trust you as my sustainer and not holding on to temporary things. Amen? All right, okay. Second example. Who knows? Oh, there's a claim concert. Mariet, jy gaan weet wie die is. Who knows who this is? Any guess? Oh, this is a bad thing what ek doen. So now and then, net is om my ou gesig op die bord te sit en te sê, wie is it? This guy wrote a song. And the song that he wrote, it should be like at the bottom of the pages, is How Great Thou Art. Okay? Not spelled like that, though. I saw it first. How great thou art. Look at what this guy does. It says, long before our day and age, already they're battling with this thing. Having the right thing as the peak. Marie het, I was at a funeral yesterday where we sang this, and then I'm like, I'm going to ask you if we can do on the stage, but then I thought I'm not going to ask you because it's last minute, but I wanted you to sing this for us, but I'm just going to read it. Look at what this man says. He says, when through the woods and forest glaze, I wonder, what is he doing at the moment? He's enjoying God's creation. You know, there's many people today that worships creation, naturalists, right? Look at this guy. He looks like a naturalist. Look at him. I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. And when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, it's great to him, grandeur, and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze. What is he doing? He's experiencing pleasure from something that God gave. Now, this could be marriage. If you are blessed, like, Lord, when I come home and I get to share my life with a person who prays for me, insert it in there. But what's very important is he's catching the sun ray. Now look to where he goes. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. I walk in the mountain. I hear the birds. I am romance, but my soul sings to thee. What is he doing? Hallowed be your name. He's shifting the summit of his heart to the one from which the very blessing comes. And there he puts his praise. How great thou art. Then sings my soul. What is the right way to interact with these blessings? Don't make them ultimate. Don't run away from them. Locate the higher point and take pleasure to praise. That's how you do it. Now he started in nature, he started to sing to God. Now check where his heart goes next. He says, and when I think that God is son, not sparing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in. On the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. So he started in nature, and now he's contemplating what a great spiritual work God did. Can you see what nature did? It pushed him up the mountain to the real summit. That's how we interact with good things in our lives. That is the right pattern. Why do we pray for our food? That's actually why we are running past the meal to the one who gave it. It's good to have to pray for the food and teach the children that. Then he goes on. Some of you know the rest of the lyrics, and he says, when Christ shall come and take me home. You see, he's even thinking now what he's doing here, and this is a very, very important thing. He's saying, there might be a day when the birds will not chirping. There might be a day when this mountain will burn. There might be a day when this wonderful marriage I'm standing in now, one of us will pass. My children will leave the home. I wanted to say they might leave the home. They must leave the home at some stage, okay? Like they can't be in your bed forever. And so watch out what you make as your ultimate peak, because if you have a peak that will crumble, you will live in anxiety. Who's seen the movie Titanic? Oh, there's a couple of moments there that you should not watch that movie. But you know, because you know history, whether you've seen the movie or not, what's happening at the end of that movie, right? Now you watch that movie for the first time with someone or a documentary, and there's a little bit of a hope in you. What's that hope? I hope he turns. Huh? Who's experienced that in a movie you've seen before? I really hope that Mufasa, this time. Now, the first 138 times I've seen Lion King, he was not able to get out of that trench. But today, okay? Now, that's really funny because I laugh at myself when I catch myself thinking like that. But we do that, am I right? It's like the highlights of yesterday's game. Like they keep on showing it. Last night, I'm like, stop. But you know what the enemy does with us? He gives us a peak that we know will fail. Can I give you one? I mean, I don't want to like make it hard for you. Ladies, it's hard as well. You know, with the media pushing the world, you have to be you need the perfect face, the perfect everything. What about 40 years? You see, it's a peak that will crumble. And so what people does is we get lured in by the enemy to set our whole life on a peak, a Titanic we know that will sink. And as we put ourselves in and we gear toward, we actually live with anxiety because one day that peak will be taken down. And we're just buying time. We're just enjoying a couple of meals on the Titanic because it's going to sink. God's saying, you don't have to live like that. What if you set your heart on something that even one day on the other side of death, the peak is there and it takes you home? Then I shall bow in humble adoration. This is meat. But the person that gets this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and this comes in, the prayer on the other side looks different. Why? Because you're praying from a vantage point. You see eternity, you locate what's important, what's not. It doesn't mean everything is easy, but there's a different strength in the prayer. And so what Jesus wants us to do is not to run around like orphans in prayer. Locate the summit. See what is true, what is right, what is strong, and then pray to all these other things. That is also important. Last week we said God is judge, God is friend, but he's first Father, and he frames all his other aspects from the place of being a father. Here, there's a lot of things in life we can and should enjoy, but first we need to get the highest one, hallowed be your name, and then he frames all the good things, each thing in its place for us to enjoy in the right way. Okay. How do I determine the summit of my heart? I'm closing with this. Like, how do I, is there clues here for me? Yes, there's clues. And I just want to say, I constantly need to find, like, nah, that's not the summit, go up, okay? And that's why the Lord's Prayer is supposed to be prayed daily, because we've got wandering hearts. Our hearts, they choose different as the day go on. And so every day, Jesus is calling us to a reset, relocate your heart, turn it towards me. Some diagnostic measures you can take to locate the summit of the heart. The true summit of your heart is what would draw you into prayer most often. Okay. So watch out what Christians can do. We can have a higher goal than God himself. Any one of these amazing things I mentioned. And then what I do is I ask God to help me serve my real God. All right? And so the thing that draws me into prayer the most, just watch out, it could be a higher setting. What needs to draw us into prayer most? Communion with God, being and enjoying God. Okay, this is mature content. Okay? But this is the challenge before us. Hallowed be your name, prized and cherished above all other peaks. The true summit is often the justification for obedience. So God calls, I don't know, you to something in your life. He's wanting you to move, but you've got a good reason why you should not move, because it's also something good, but it's got a higher authority than God. Okay? So often on the other side of your obedience, you can locate your true summit. And if it's not God, then you can relegate it down and say, Lord, there's only one that you help me with. Does that make sense? Okay. This is a nuanced one. I need to also wrap up. When you find it hard to move on in life, let me give you one example. you've committed many sins in your life. Like, I'm gonna use a hypothetical person. It's not one of you, okay? So I think I probeer jou bespreek hier. Okay. You were into drugs and that was bad, and you fell away in many other ways, and the Lord restored you. And along the road, you also went bankrupt, and there's repentance and forgiveness, and now God is healing you, but you cannot forgive yourself for being bankrupt. Now, some of the other stuff you did was worse, because here's the thing: your whole family does good in business, and your dad loves it when all the family does good in business, and you are the one that went bankrupt. Now, God has forgiven you. You feel better. But here's the thing. You are living for your dad's approval. And so, Father, God is forgiving you. But you see, you've got someone else on the peak. And so you live with bitterness and you can't move on. Okay? And so sometimes, the inability to move on is because our God, the Father, is a healer, restorer, and forgiver. So if you can't advance, locate the different peak, repent of it, and put God on there. Okay? And then the last thing I want to say this morning is anxiety. And I kind of touch on it again. Someone once said, every tree in the forest will fall. So make your nest in the cliff. And so when the heart starts to build on the Titanic that will sink, there's this anxiety. It kind of just like, it's always there. What is that? It's a sign. It's the Spirit here to help you and set you free. And He's going to help you locate a peak that even meets you and welcomes you and cherishes you on the other side of death. What is that? It's a sure peak that will not fall away. It's a cliff. It's a rock. Okay. And who is our rock but Jesus? And so here's our charge for the week. All other good things from His hand, from pleasure to praise, yes, but relegate peaks of the heart, because the heart works like this. What the heart wants most, it demands the hands to hold. And when you lose it, you collapse. So hold on to your relationship with Jesus first, because it's a kingdom that not only you stretch out to hold, but it's a kingdom that holds you. It's an unbreakable force. And then you go on to petition and confession. Petition, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Help us with all these things. Okay, and that we leave for the following weeks. But can you see that adoration, putting God first, comes before petition and confession? Because it frames it in the right way. Mondvol? Some mondvol, ne? So everyone is going to feel better about the bokke when we're done here. Because we're locating a new peak here, right? Ga je nou doen, duivel, om my Sondag te spoil, niksie. You know what, sometimes it's good to laugh at ourselves, isn't that true? Pas Linda, kom speel vir ons iets. Let's close in meditation. I want to ask you, what is the summit of your heart? As I was using so many examples and at times joking around, was there something you could say, you know what, this is funny, but it's actually true. There's this thing in my life that I actually hold on to it with the hands of my heart as if it's never going to sink. But I know this is a momentary thing. Make God the summit and then fully enjoy that thing. Allow the ultimate summit to frame all the other good things in your life so that you can enjoy it without being afraid to lose it. Because there's a rock underneath, an eternal rock. This morning, Lord, those people we prayed for that just felt oppressed or depressed, and maybe there's a couple more, like dealing with anxiety, because the heart has a different peak that it's grasping on, and then we know it's sinking slowly. What do I do when this thing has sunk? What do I do? Salvation is what needs to happen. Not in the sense of being born again, but He remains the God who saves us. Amen. Some of you here, you're believers, but you feel like you need to be saved from anxiety. Allow the Lord to save you. He is the God of our salvation. And so maybe this morning He wants to save you by putting you on a boat that will never sink. His kingdom. While every eye is closed, I'm not sending people over to pray, but I want a step of faith. While every eye is closed, if you know there's a move you must make when it comes to the peak of your heart, just put up your hand. I just want a moment of faith in this place. I can do that. I can pray that prayer. Just put your hand up very high and say, I can relate to that. Father, as hands are going up in this place, I pray that You will help the eyes locate the true summit. Hallowed be Your name, prized above all other things. Bless everyone, Lord, here. And those with the faith to lift their hand, I pray that even right now something will lift. I pray that anxiety will break, fear will break, and that the everlasting joy will come in. You can lower your hand, and then now let's engage in the right way. I want you to think about two things, which is not to be hallowed, but they are good. And I want you to take pleasure to praise. Okay, what are these things? God's provision, your work, your talents, your body that's healthy, your marriage. Take for a moment, say, Lord, this is not the everlasting rock, but it's a good thing from You. So I want to praise You for this, because You are blessing me with this thing or that thing. You're going from enjoyment to adoration. And now shift that peak down. Say, Lord, this thing is so important. I want to be a great steward, but it's galaxies below You. So just relocate it down. Father, this week, may we pray and be aware of our standing in the summit of our heart as we grow in prayer together as a congregation. And everyone said, Amen.